Amen. So the title of the sermon tonight is Evidence of a Blessed Life. Evidence of a Blessed Life. And, you know, there's a lot of different evidences that we could point to that we're living a life that is blessed, or what at least what the Bible would call a blessed life. And Psalms 128 just, you know, I think has a couple just quick points that we could look at and see, you know, what it means to live a blessed life. Because, you know, people have a lot of different ideas today about what it means to live a blessed life. And they would say things like, oh, you're very blessed if you have a lot of money, or if you have a lot of clout at your job, or things like that. But really, the Bible kind of points to a few things here in this psalm, and you probably picked up on them as it was being read, that, you know, would tell us that's, you know, the answer is different. The biblical answer is, you know, not necessarily having great wealth, although the Bible does talk about how God will bless us if we work hard. He gives us strength to get wealth. But, you know, that's not the only measure of success or the only evidence of the fact that you are living a blessed life. And let's just get right into it. It says there in Psalms 128 and verse 1, it said, blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways. For thou shalt eat the labor of thine hands, and happy shalt thou be, and it shall be well with thee. So the first evidence that I want to point out tonight that we're living a blessed life is the fact that, you know, we're going to have the ability to labor, that we're going to be able to labor, and that we're going to be able to eat of that labor. And you might say, are you telling me that working is an evidence of being blessed? And the answer is yes, because that is what the Bible says. And, you know, we're living in a society today, and this is probably the point I'm going to spend a little bit more time on than the others. We're living in a society where, you know, people are all about not working. You know, you get into, I've had certain jobs in the past, and I've said this of them, that I've never seen a group of people work so hard at not working. You know, they'll get into a job, and it instantly just becomes about the pension. They're just counting down the days till they can retire. They're just counting down the minutes till they can punch out. And they're not really interested in putting in, you know, long days, hard days. But, you know, the Bible does say that you know, laboring is something that is, you know, a blessing to us. That if we have the ability to go and labor, that is the blessing from God. I mean, just think about it from the aspect that to be able to go out and to labor, to work hard, you know, requires physical health. You know, if you're somebody who can put both feet on the ground when you wake up in the morning and stand up, you know, and draw air and move around of your own volition and are able to go out there and put in a hard day's labor, either, you know, in a secular job out there, or maybe you're a wife and a mother, you're able to get up and to teach your children and instruct your children. You're able to cook the meals and do all the tasks around the house that need to be done. Or even if you're a child or young person who has the ability to get up and to do your schoolwork and to, you know, have the cognitive function. You know, I know it's questionable among some of us, right? To be able to actually perform those duties and to turn in the work and to do all the hard work that's involved there. You know, that's a blessing. Just to be able to have the physical ability to do those things in and of itself is evidence that, you know, you are living a blessed life. That's something to be grateful for. That's something that we ought to be thankful for, that we have the ability to go out there and to do our jobs and to complete the tasks that have been given unto us to do. If you would, keep something in Psalm 128, but just go over to Ecclesiastes chapter number 5. Ecclesiastes chapter number 5. You say, are you really going to get up there and tell me that working is a blessing from God? Well, if you think about it, you know, in Genesis, the Bible says that God was made to labor. You know, God made man and put him in the Garden of Eden, you know, to swing in a hammock and to just, you know, eat whatever he wanted and lay around all day. No, he put him in a garden to dress it and to keep it. You know, man was built and designed by God to labor. You know, and we understand that that labor became more intensive and became more of a burden, if you will, when man fell and God cursed the earth. And he said, you know, now you're going to labor in the sweat of your face. But even prior to that, prior to the curse, when man was blessed of God before he fell, he was still designed to go out and work. You know, and specifically when it comes to men, you know, men have something in them, at least they should, you know, that compels them to want to work, compels them to want to go out and accomplish something, get their hands dirty, do something, and get involved in even physical labor and doing things of that nature. And the Bible talks about this, you know, in several different passages. We'll just look at a few, but the Bible says, you're there in Ecclesiastes 5, but it says in chapter 2, verse 24, that there is nothing better for a man than that he should eat and drink. You know, we'd like to just put a period right there and just say, hey, there's nothing better. The Bible says we should just eat and drink, that there's nothing better to do, right? Well, yeah, there's nothing better that he should eat and drink and that he should make his soul enjoy good in his labor. You know, when man can work hard and come home and have a you know, a good nutritious meal and he can eat the fruit of his labor, you know, that's a very good thing. That is a blessing from God. Look, that's an evidence that God has blessed you. When you're able to go out there and work hard and enjoy the good of your labor, you know, the Bible says, this also I saw that it was from the hand of God. You know, so I want God to bless me. Well, you know, he's given you physical strength to go out there and to earn a living and to, you know, be able to enjoy the fruits of your labor. That is the evidence of a blessed life. And again, we're living in a society today that would rather just go collect the welfare check. They'd rather just sit around in unemployment. They would rather just not labor, not work, not, you know, break a sweat doing anything. You know, but ask yourself this, are those people truly blessed of God? And you would look at their lives and often they're very, you know, miserable people. They're very depressed people. Look at Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 12. It says, the sleep of a laboring man is sweet. That's verse 12. Whether he eat little or much, but the abundance of the rich will not suffer him to sleep. You know, you think, oh, if I could just, you know, strike the, you know, win the lotto, if I could just get the scratch off and hit it big, just get a million to take off the edge, you know, just a cool million, that's all I need to just pay off a few things. You know, that, you know, then I would be able to just take my knees. You know, I would be able, wouldn't have to work so hard. Well, the Bible says, you know, if you made it, if you got rich, if you just came into this abundance of wealth, that I would actually not suffer you to sleep. You'd be worrying about what, how the markets are performing. You'd be worrying about, you know, how you're going to spend that money, if someone's going to come and take it, if it's going to get, you know, embezzled by some investor or whatever. You know, but the sleep of a laboring man is sweet, whether he eat little or much. You know, the guy who puts in an honest, hard day's work, puts in a long day, you know, he has a real easy time just laying his head down on the pillow, knowing that he's put in a hard day's work and he sleeps very sweetly, the Bible says. That's a blessing from God. I mean, isn't sleep a blessing? You know, when you don't believe me, well, go without it for a little while. You know, don't get enough sleep for a while. You know, a lot of the mothers in here are probably thinking, yeah, I know exactly what you're talking about. What they would give for just, you know, a moment's rest, a moment's respite, just to be able to lay down their head and get a solid 8 hours or 6 hours without being interrupted throughout the night. You know, that's a, you know, not being able to sleep is, you know, a very difficult thing. You know, that can really have a toll on our health and our mental health, our physical health. You know, but the man who labors, that's the man that's blessed of God. You know, that evidence of God's blessing is the fact that you're able to lay your head down and sleep and have peace and have sweet sleep because of the fact that you're working hard. Look at verse 18. Behold, that which I have seen, it is good and comely for one to eat and to drink and to enjoy the good of all his labor. Again, we want to just end at the eat and drink, right? And we do enjoy the eating and the drink. I mean, this is Baptist church, amen, and we enjoy it. You know, we get together, we have the potlucks, when we get together and have fellowship, we do the eating and the drinking. But, you know, what else we do is we are enjoying all the good of our labor that has been undertaken under the sun. You know, think about the people that are going out and soul winning, especially this time of year, that are getting under the sun. You know, they enjoy the eating and the drinking both before and after the soul winning. You know, they go out there, they labor hard in the sun, and then they're looking forward to the cool drink, right? Whereas if you were just sitting around in the AC all day, that refreshing beverage probably wouldn't be as satisfying, right? Look, we want to enjoy these good things in life. Those are blessings from God, but they're made sweeter, they're made better by the fact that we're able to labor to get them, that we work hard to get those things. That is an evidence of a blessed life. The fact that if we find ourselves working hard, because people, you know, will teach the exact opposite. They'll say, oh, God's blessing you. You know, you're just going to come into all this wealth. God's just going to bless you. You're going to get all these great things. You know, have this prosperity gospel and say, oh, you're not going to have to work so hard. Well, I mean, what does the Bible say, though? It seems to me like the Bible's saying the evidence of a blessed life, God's blessing manifests itself through the fact that we have the ability to work hard, and that's what allows us to enjoy these things that God blesses us with. Excuse me. Look at verse 19. Every man also to whom God hath given riches and wealth and hath given him power to eat thereof and to take his portion and to rejoice in his labor, this is the gift of God. So if that labor leads to wealth, you know, that also is the gift of God. For he shall not much remember the days of his life, because God answereth him in the joy of his heart. Now, if you would, go over to 2 Thessalonians chapter number 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 3. How do you know that, you know, laboring, that working hard is a blessing from God? Because, you know, God actually condemns not working. God condemns not being somebody who's laboring and putting in you know, a hard day's work. If you're one who's just kind of laying around, being lazy, not working, the Bible actually condemns that. It says, you know, that not working is a sin. The Bible says in Ephesians 4, let him that stole steal no more, but rather let him labor, working with his hands the thing which is good, that he may be able to give to him that needeth. You know, God wants us to be working. Look at 2 Thessalonians chapter number 3. Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly and not after the tradition which he received of us. And then he goes on to tell us what it means to walk disorderly and what is this tradition that they had received of Paul. Verse 10, for even when we were with you, this we commanded you, that if any would not work, neither should he eat. You know, and that, you know, that's what needs to be quoted to these bums on the street that are begging. You know, they're saying, "Oh, I'm hungry." It's like, no, you need to get your fix, is what's really going on there. Oh, I'm hungry. I haven't eaten days. You know, and the people hand them food, and then they don't even eat it. They don't even finish it, because what they're really out there for is to so they can keep doing drugs. Look, that's just the facts. And the Bible says, you know, that those people should not eat. And that, you know, what's so infuriating to me is not the people that are necessarily out there panhandling and try to take, you know, get other people's hard-earned money so they can go spend it on booze and alcohol, and go to the strip club and get, you know, shoot things up in their veins and whatever it is that they do, these derelicts with other people's money. You know, what's really more frustrating than that is the people that you see roll down the window and actually hand them, you know, money and say, hey, carry on, keep doing what you're doing here. Let me enable you to keep doing that. Look, I'm sure there's people out there that have genuine needs, you know, but there's other avenues for people like that to go find the help that they need and to sit there and panhandle on the street. And, you know, we're being overrun by this in our nation where people are just setting up on every off-ramp. They're setting up camps all over the place. I mean, we've got it here, Phoenix, other states, it's way worse. And we're now even, you know, the city governments are saying, oh, it's okay, they can camp out wherever they want. We can't tear it down. Where they're being, you know, they'll drive. Look, in some cities like Portland, they'll even during the hot months, they literally will send out a trolley, like a vehicle, like a big bus or whatever it is, so that all the homeless people can come in and get out of the heat and just drive them around. That's your tax. That's those people's tax money at work. What they should be told is, hey, you know, if you're not going to work, you're not going to eat. And when people start to get hungry, you know, they'll start to clean up their act. They'll start trying to make an effort to you know, better themselves. You know, that's what the Bible says. You say, is that the solution to everything? I don't know. You know, my job as the preacher isn't here to solve all the world's problems. It's just to tell you what the Bible says, and the world can do with it whatever they want. But that's what Paul said. He said, look, when it comes to the brethren, you know, we should withdraw from them. If there's some brother who's going to come into church and just start being a bum and not working and not putting in a hard day's work, that's somebody we should withdraw from. And I don't think it means we should just ignore him and not shake his hand. I mean, I think it's something that's actually worthy of being kicked out of church. If people have different interpretations, that's fine. This is mine. He says in verse 11, for we hear that there's some which walk among you disorderly. So there it is. We're to withdraw from them that walk it disorderly, and there are some which walk among you disorderly. What is the disorderliness that they have? Working not at all, but are busybodies. You know, they're working not at all, but they're staying busy, you know, running around talking to people, being busybodies. You know, these guys are out on the street with the sign, you know, waving it and asking for money. It's like, you know, they actually pay people. There's actually legitimate jobs where you would, you know, you could go work and do that exact same thing, being a sign waver. You like waving signs so much, you know, why don't you go get a job where they actually pay people to do that? You know, you can go you're already advertising out in the heat on the side. It's like, why don't you go get a legitimate job? I'll tell you why they don't do it is because they probably make more money doing that than working a legitimate job. Because there's people out there that don't understand this. They don't understand that, you know, they shouldn't be feeding the bums. Where's the bumper stickers? Don't feed the bums. You know, they have signs all over the parks when you're dealing with dangerous animals. Don't feed the bears. You know, how about don't feed the bums? Because if you don't feed the bears won't come around and start scratching and clawing at your window. You know, and seeing what you want to see what you taste like, right? You give me marshmallows, maybe you're just a big marshmallow. You know, and some of us might resemble big marshmallows more than others. But, you know, it's the same thing here. Don't feed the bums. You know, and they'll quit, you know, fogging up our glass, you know, and staring at us at stoplights. You know, and actually go get a shave and a shower and try to make something of themselves. when people stop, you know, paying them. I know I'm kind of ranting right now, but so what? Look at verse 12. It says, "Now we them that are such, we command and exhort by our Lord Jesus Christ that with quietness they work and eat their own bread." Because that's the blessing of God. That's the evidence of a blessed life. When you're able to stand on your own two feet, carve out a living for yourself, and eat your own bread with quietness and work with your own two hands. Look, that's the evidence of a blessed life. And the Bible's showing us here that, you know, it's the opposite of a blessed life, you know, in one respect, is that you're a bum. You're going to tell me these people out there are blessed? The farthest thing from it. You know, God bless, they'll put on the sign. It's like, well, he's not blessing you, buddy. Because the evidence of a blessed life is the fact that you're able to work hard, that you're willing to go out there and make a living for yourself. So yeah, God's blessing me, but I don't see him blessing you. Verse 13. Ye, brethren, be not weary in well-doing, and if any man obey not our word by this epistle, note that man and have no company with him, that he may be ashamed. Yet count him not as an enemy, but admonish him as a brother. You know, one of the evidences of a blessed life is being able to work hard, to go out and labor and enjoy the fruit of that labor. You know, that's the portion that God has given to man. You know, and not working is probably one of the most depressing things that a man can go through. I mean, I've known people, several people throughout, you know, in my life where it's not, they're not even unemployed yet. There's just this prospect that they might be without work, or there might be a season where they don't have jobs. And these men will start to fret over that. They'll start to worry, and naturally so, you know, because they want to provide for their family and things like that, where it'll actually kind of affect their mood. And it's not that they're unemployed. They're just there's this prospect, you know, that things might not turn out the way they want. You know, and it's why? Because not working is depressing. And there's been seasons I know where I've been between jobs. That's like, you think, oh, you know, you're kind of looking for jobs. You're at home. You know, you got time to spend with the family. It's like, believe me, those seasons in life, the family doesn't want me around. You know, I'm not exactly a happy camper when I've found myself between jobs. It's miserable. You know, and it's depressing to not work. You know, and even the CDC understands that, you know, unemployment is consistently associated with high rates of depression among adults. They've done whole studies on it, that people who don't work are more depressed, more chronically depressed, because man is built to work. Man, woman, boy, girl, adult, child, they're all built, designed by God to be people who labor, who endeavor to accomplish things and to enjoy the fruit of that labor. You know, and sometimes, it even kind of made me think about the fact that, you know, part of my job, you know, as someone who is pastoring this church down here, is to be available to kind of counsel people and help people. You know, and sometimes people get depressed and go through things. And I know we're kind of a smaller church, you know, and just not a lot of time has elapsed, but I've never really been approached by that. I've never really had, you know, grown men come to me and say, "Hey, I'm really struggling with this." And I'm wondering sometimes, is it because I'm just that unapproachable? Is it just because I'm just that grumpy? And is it just because, is it the look on my face? You know, is it the deodorant or lack thereof? You know, do I need to change the oil, so to speak? Is it just I'm so repulsive or something like that? Or maybe is it that, you know, the men in this church, you know, just don't suffer from that because they're all working hard? Because they're not depressed, because they're out there earning a living. I like to think that it's the former, or the latter, rather. I like to think that it's because all the men, you know, they're not struggling with this, because they're already living a blessed life. Hey, deacon, we don't need your help here, because we're doing all right. Because we're all working, because we're doing a good job. So that's the first evidence of a blessed life. The ability to go out and work, and to be blessed in that labor. You know, that is the gift of God that God has given to us. That is the portion given to man in this life. You know, another evidence there in Psalms 118, where we were, or 128, excuse me, is, you know, another evidence would be, and again, this isn't an exhaustive list, but these are just a few points, you know, would be the ability to marry and raise children. You know, that would be part of a blessed life. And I'm not saying if you don't have these things that you're not blessed. But I am saying this, that if you do have these things, you certainly are blessed. You know, and this is important to remember today because of the fact that, you know, especially nowadays, we're having people grow up with this philosophy that says, you know, marriage is just something you have to kind of put off as long as you can, that children are nothing but a burden. In fact, you know, if you can abort them, you know, that we want to be able to do that. You know, we should want to control when we can have children and when we don't want to have children. You know, but the Bible makes it abundantly clear that having children of the youth, having children in abundance is a blessing that God gives to us. So that's how it should be approached. That marriage and childbearing is a blessing. Not without its difficulties, not without its hardships, just like laboring isn't necessarily the easiest thing. I'm sure not everyone pops out of bed every morning like a little toaster strudel, you know, all warm and crispy, ready to go, you know, looking forward to the day when they got a long day's work ahead of them. But you know what? When people put in a hard day's work, they get to the end, they feel pretty satisfied. When they do something hard, something they didn't want to do, they have the satisfaction that they accomplished something. Well, it comes the same thing to marriage and having children. It's not always easy. It's not always the most pleasant thing, you know, to be dealing with the sickness and the diapers and the frustration of child rearing and everything that goes along with it. But you know what? When you start turning out godly children who are a blessing to others, you know, that is a very satisfying thing. You know, when they are blessing back to you, that is something that is a blessing that comes from God. Go to Psalms 127. It's just one chapter behind where we are. I mean, it makes me always think of, you know, Joseph, right? When Joseph was being blessed of Israel, you know, he was giving out the blessings to his 12 sons, and he says, Joseph is a fruitful bough, even a fruitful bough by a well whose branches run over the wall. And he goes on to describe what he means by that. Well, what does it mean to be a fruitful bough for Joseph to be that? He goes on, he shall be blessed with blessings of heaven above, blessings of the deep that lieth underneath, blessings of the breasts and of the womb. He's saying, look, one of the blessings that Joseph is going to have is the fact that he's going to have a multitude of children. He's going to have the blessings of the breasts and of the womb. That's talking about children, having children. You know, being able to marry and raise children is an evidence of a blessed life. And I get it, you know, some people, they might even be married but not able to have children. That's not to say that they're not blessed. There's other complications involved. I understand that. You know, people have things that they have to overcome. And God has his purposes. You know, he's the one that openeth and shutteth the womb. And, you know, there is that. Okay, I understand that. There's that caveat there. But, you know, the Bible does say in Psalms 127, verse 3, where you are, lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. You know, that's not a philosophy that the world's going to embrace today. That would say, oh, yeah, children are a blessing from God. They're a reward. You know, people today will sit there and say, oh, children are just some kind of, you know, hardship that we have to endure just so that the human race doesn't go extinct. You know, that's sometimes the philosophy a lot of people that have out there, this attitude that they have. I mean, I remember when I was engaged to be married, I was taken aside and told, you know, you should just not have children for the first couple of years and just spend time getting to know each other. And, you know, that went right out the window. I dismissed that out of hand. You know, and I'm glad that I did, because, you know, I'm one who got married, you know, not later in life. You know, I think I was 29 years old when I got married. I was practically 30 years old, and I'm grateful for the time that I've had being married. It's been a blessing to me. I'm grateful for the children that I do have. But often I'll think, you know, if we had gotten married even younger, we could have had the chance to have even more children. You know, we could have a few more kids. You say, you've already got five. How many do you need? More is how many I need, you know. And now we're getting a little bit older. You know, we're approaching into that time of life where, you know, within the next decade, we'll as a couple, you know, my wife will cease to have children. You know, and now I find myself just praying, Lord, can I have at least one more, two more? Why? Because children are a blessing from God. They're not easy. It's not always the most pleasant thing to raise children, but I tell you what, it's a huge blessing. You know, and what kind of jarred this sermon, you know, what kind of, you know, made me want to preach this is, you know, I was away from home for a whole, like, 2 days, not even, you know, like, oh, 48 hours. It's like, people are like, oh, it must be nice to travel. It, you know, traveling's fun for about 8 hours. You know, the older I've gotten, then after 8 hours, I'm like, I no matter how good a time I'm having, part of me is just like, I want to be at home. I want to be at home. Think, oh, what about all the eating out? You know, all the great food you're going to get to enjoy. It's like, no, I'd rather just be eating, you know, whatever my wife's making, you know, at home and be there with my children, you know. And then you start to see, I mean, at the Red Hot, I'm seeing all these other kids, you know, all these other couples and all their small, you know, their small children and their these families there. And I'm thinking, what a blessing. You know, what a blessing to be a part of something where people are being encouraged to have children, to get married and to have kids and to be fruitful and to multiply like the Bible commands us to. And you're surrounded by people who are happy, who are enjoying life, who are evidently blessed of God because of the fact that they are, you know, they have these children. And it makes me want to go home and enjoy the blessing of my children, you know, even more. The Bible says they are an heritage of the Lord, that they are the fruit of the womb of his, the fruit of the womb is his reward. And again, going back to, you know, the Psalms 128 where we were, he says, thy wife shall be as a fruitful vine by the sides of thine house. You know, she's that main plant that kind of has grown up. You, we all seen, you know, those Thomas Kincaid, you know, if that's his name, that does the, is that his name? The guy who does like the, you know, the real pretty puzzles and things, the paintings, you know, the little cottage with the wheel, you know, the little water wheel, and it's next to some, you know, ideal lake, and there's this beautiful sunset. And often you'll see that, you know, those type of paintings, they'll have that wall, you know, that's just overgrown with a vine, right? And it's just showing, you know, that, you know, what the Bible's painting here is that it's fertile. You know, it's something that is growing. It's something that brings forth fruit. And he's saying that one of the evidences of a blessed life is having a wife who is going to be fruitful. She's going to be a fruitful vine. You know, and she's going to kind of hold that house together. She's going to be, you know, an attraction in that house, and she's going to bear children. You know, and again, I know that's not always the case, that there's obviously, you know, a caveat there, but generally speaking, you know, that is an evidence of being blessed. And not only that, you know, the another evidence is the fact that the children that are born in that house are promising. You know, having promising children is an evidence of a blessed life. And you have kids that are heading in the right direction, as it says here in Psalms 128, verse 3, thy children like olive plants round about thy table. Now, it's interesting it says olive plants, because, you know, an olive, you don't really, when you think of an olive, you think of the olive tree, right? You don't think of the olive plant. And olive trees are obviously very big. It's not really something you're going to sit around the table. But, you know, and whenever I read that, I always think about sitting at the table and all of my kids just being literal olive plants, like in little potted plants, you know, and they're just little striplings. They got a few little branches. They're not necessarily bringing forth an abundant amount of olive. They're not bearing any fruit. You know, they have to be nurtured. They have to be watered. They have to be, you know, kept upright. They have to be staked, you know, and protected and kept out of the elements. They have to be nurtured as a plant. But what is the picture there? Is that those children eventually are going to take root and grow and develop and become strong and eventually in and of themselves be very fruitful. They're going to bring fruit, you know, forth fruit in their adulthood, in their more mature years. What are they? They're promising children. You know, children are a blessing because of the fact of the promise that they bring. You know, and that they're an investment that we pour ourselves into, at least we ought to, because they are the blessing from God. You know, and really, you know, they will, you know, if they're going to, if we follow the biblical model, it's our children that are going to sustain us later in life. You know, my kids, thankfully, are still fighting over me. You know, who gets to take care of Dad? You know, he's going to live with me. Mom and Dad are going to come stay with me. They kind of fight for me. Not all of them. Some of them are just like, well, yeah, you can have them. Right? But, you know, that is a biblical model. I know I've preached about that recently, about, you know, honoring your parents, you know, and requiting your parents in their old age when they have need. But, you know, that is a blessing from God. Don't look at your children like they're just some burden, that they're just, you know, something you have to endure. They are an evidence of a blessed life if you have kids. They reach beyond our years. You know, they are as the arrows of the hand and arrows in the hand of a mighty man, the Bible says in Proverbs 22. So are the children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed that shall speak with enemies in the gates. And I love the picture that the Bible paints about children. It says they're as arrows in the hands of a mighty. It didn't say they're as a battle axe or a sword. Yes, there's still a weapon, but, you know, what do you use? Is an arrow is not, it's not a short range weapon. It's a long range weapon, isn't it? It's something that you reach out, someone you could not otherwise, you know, affect. You know, you can reach with an arrow. You know, that's what children are. The children of your youth are. That's the promise of children. That they're going to have a reach that extends beyond your own in the years to come. You know, when we grow old and pass off the scene, our children or grandchildren, if we've trained them up in the way that they should go, they will not depart from it. They will pick up the torch, they will pick up the mantle, and they will carry on and continue to serve God and make an impact on this world. That's how you have to view children. That's how you have to look at the children that we're raising. They're not just something that we have to just... Yes, of course, they're like that olive plant that we have to sustain, we have to nurture, we have to protect. But eventually, they're going to stand on their own, and they're going to be fruitful. Children are promising. That's how children ought to be viewed. That'll help us get through those difficult times, those difficult seasons. You know, when all of our children are young, they're under a certain age, it's very stressful, it's very difficult. But, you know, the promise is that later on, you know, they will... grow up and they'll be a blessing and return unto us. So these are just a few of the evidences of God's blessing in our lives. And really, in closing, real quick, the last one I'll point out is the blessing of God's working in our lives. Now, I'm not going to get real specific on this, but if you look there in verse 5, it says, Psalm 128, verse 5, "The Lord shall bless thee out of Zion, and thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life. Yea, thou shalt see thy children's children, and peace upon Israel." You know, what God is promising here is that He will preserve us. He will preserve us. I believe He'll preserve us as individuals. You know, if we are going to serve God and be blessed by Him, that we will live long enough to see our children's children. You know, and that's something that, is very should be very near and dear to us. That's a very special thing. You know, I was able to see a friend of mine just recently at the Red Hot preaching conference, you know, Pastor Aaron Thompson, who's not a whole lot older than me, you know, and he's already seeing his children's children, you know, and it was fun to kind of hang around him and see all of his, you know, his children there with their spouses and all of his, I think he's got 5 or 7 grandkids already. I can't remember, you know, but, and it happened overnight. Like, it was just a few years ago, he had none. And then just in that short time, now he's already surrounded by all these little kids are coming up to him and calling him whatever they call him, you know, their grandpa. They all call him something different, right? And he's able, and I'm sitting there thinking, man, what a blessing that is. You know, and that's the evidence of a blessed life. That you're seeing your children's children. That God has preserved you and God has given you promising children that are bearing fruit. That's the evidence of a blessed life. You know, and that's God blessing thee out of Zion. You know, God's going to be with us. You know, maybe not as a nation. You know, it says, "And thou shalt see the good of Jerusalem all the days of thy life." You know, if everyone was doing what it took to be blessed of God, and I'll cover that what that is here in a minute. You know, then a whole nation could look forward to that, to being preserved and have the blessing of God upon it. You know, we might not have that as a nation, but we can definitely have it as individuals in our lives, that we can have the blessings of God in our lives. We can have these evidences. So the question is, you know, how do you get this blessing? You know, how do you have these evidences of a blessed life? How is it that, you know, you get the blessing and the ability to work hard and to have God bless your efforts and labor and bless your children and have a blessed life? Well, it's right there. It's in verse 1. "Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord." That's the basis of a blessed life. I just pointed out a few of the evidences, but the basis for a blessed life is a life that fears the Lord. You know, fearing God, keeping His commandments, and doing what's right. That's what leads to a blessed life. Not just blowing God off and just saying, well, you know, I know God, I know the Bible's true, I know what the preacher said is true, but, you know, it's just not for me. Well, you know what? You just robbed yourself of a blessed life. You know, and you'll find that out later in life. You know, you'll find out later when you don't have these things, when the health fails, when the grandchildren aren't there, you know, that you're missing out on a blessing in life. Look, and I don't want that for anybody in this room. I want people to have those blessings because, you know, I'm enjoying some of them. Others, I'm just seeing others enjoy and wanting it, you know, and I'm saying, well, what do I got to do to get it? You got to fear God. Fear God and keep His commandments. I should have keep something in Ecclesiastes. Go to verse 12, chapter 12. We'll end there. You know, but in this short psalm, in Psalms 128, we see just a couple evidences of what God's blessing is, how it materializes, you know, in our life, how it actually manifests itself. Strength to labor, enjoying the fruit of our labor, raising children, having a fruitful spouse, having a healthy home, having a home like that. You know, having a home that is blessed. And in that short psalm, we're also told twice that that comes as a result of fearing God. Blessed is everyone that feareth the Lord, that walketh in his ways. Verse 4, blessed, behold, that thus shall the man be blessed that feareth the Lord. Say, I want that. Well, you need to fear the Lord. You know, I remember early on, when I first got saved, when I first started to see families such as we have here, such as I now have, you know, before I got married, before I have children, just thinking to myself, man, that's what I want. You know, I didn't have that growing up, and I remember just thinking as a young person, man, I just want a godly wife, I just want godly children, I want just a peaceful, stable home. You know, the exact opposite of what I had growing up. You know, and I'm thinking, well, how do you get that? Well, I didn't get that because I went and, you know, found some hoochie down at the bar and tried to make an honest woman out of her. You know, I found that, I got that because I stuck it out at church, and eventually God brought a godly woman into my life that I was able to fall in love with and marry and have those children, and now I have that. But, you know, there was a season where the only thing I could do to get it was just fear God and walk in his ways and keep his commandments and just trust that the promises were true, that God would eventually bless that. And you know what? And he did, and it continues to bless it. But it came through fearing the Lord. Look at Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 13. Let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. You know, God is going to reward every man according to his works, whether it be good or whether it be evil. He's going to bring every work into judgment. You know, so what we ought, because of that, you know, what that's telling us is that we're either going to receive the blessing of God in this life or the judgment of God in this life, the curse of God in this life. So what's he saying? Let's hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God. Keep his commandments. You know, and God will bless us if we do that. And as we continue to live this life, maybe we don't have all the blessings that we want from God, you know, but they're promised to the one who's going to fear him, who's going to keep his commandments and walk in his ways. So continue to do that. Just fear God, you know, and walk in his ways, and eventually, you know, you'll begin to see the evidences of a blessed life in your life as well. Let's go ahead and pray.